This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with co-host, Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy.
Hi there, Dave.
Rhode Island's reputation as a pretty good place to make a movie continues with the announcement that Woody Allen plans to film in the Ocean State over the summer. And we will talk movie making and the local economy with Stephen Feinberg, the executive director of the Rhode Island Film and TV Office. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure, Dave.
Anything else you could tell us? Any more details regarding that Woody Allen movie that's for the public?
They are now anchored in Rhode Island. Pre-production has started. They will start filming after the July 4th weekend. They'll continue on through August and wrapping in mid-September. It stars Joaquin Phoenix and Emma Stone, and there'll be a few other cast members that will be announced in the near future.
And we're not saying yet where the movie is going to be filmed.
Yeah, I can't tell you that. It will be in the large urban areas. Well, I can tell you for sure that they'll be in Providence, and you'll see them out and about in within the state of Rhode Island. They'll be visible.
How does a deal like this go down? Who pitches whom?
Well, in this particular case, sometimes, you know, it will change. But in this particular situation, they were looking at other states for a particular type of location. I got wind of that, was very aggressive in pursuing them. You know, one location we thought was going to be a good fit, that did not work out. But we stayed relentless, went to another location that was open to film. The director didn't feel it suited his needs exactly, so we went to another location. And then finally, we were able to come to a situation where the location was available, and the director loved it. And we were able to then, after creatively, and that's not always a circumstance, but in this particular case, creatively was the number one reason. And then obviously having the tax credits in a competitive realm with other states, which were the other locations that they were looking at in other states, we were in the game. And so combining the two, we were able to land the production. And I'm very happy because it's a union production and it helps pay for a lot of our local crew members. They get not only a really good living wage, they also get pension, health, and welfare. And then it has a great impact on our vendors.
Is how it happened relatively typical in how the films come here?
Well, we're always competing against other states and, frankly, other countries. The UK has a wonderful production incentive, and other countries as well, including Australia. They're very liberal as far as their, I think it might be 40%. But in our other states, there are places such as New York State offers a 30% credit. If you film in the city of New York, you get an additional 5%. So now you're up to 35%. Places like Georgia offer 30%. We're at 25%. We have a cap on ours. It's a $15 million annual cap. It limits the amount of production that we can offer in our state with the Motion Picture Incentive Program at $60 million of production per year. Massachusetts, our neighbors who emulated our program, as did most of the other states, they don't have a cap. So they're allowed to bring a $100 million film or an $80 million film into their state, an unlimited amount of production, and that is very attractive. In addition to that, they offer a 90% rebate, so you can have either a transferable tax credit or a 90% rebate. And again, that can be very attractive as well. So whenever we're dealing with productions, I have friends that are filmmakers, producers, writers, studio executives. I talk to them, and that's to bring in those big Hollywood productions or television programs. In the meantime, we have a wonderful local crop of local filmmakers who have gained experiences on these other productions, realize that they can live in a state that they love, pursue a career that they love, and make their own films that are sometimes subsidized by the work that they do on the bigger productions.
So how big is the filmmaking community? And that I would include there the behind-the-scenes folks who work on productions. How many people are we talking?
We're talking thousands. If you look at the actual Rhode Island Film Collaborative as an example, I think there were like 43. It was called it when I arrived 10 years ago. It was like 43, and it was called the Providence Film Collaborative. And now there are thousands of members in the Rhode Island Film Collaborative. You've got your technicians, arts, crafts people, painters, scenic, grip, lighting, There's a vast amount. And those are, many of them are in the union. Now you've got others who are gaining experiences. Like we have a local filmmaker, producer named Chad Verde, Woodhaven Films and Verde Productions. He just signed a 10-picture deal with Screen Media, that's a subsidiary of Universal. 10-picture deal, pretty unprecedented for an independent filmmaker to make 10 movies. One of his filmmakers, local guy from Cranston, went to New England Tech. Tom DiNucci is a writer and director. He just finished a film called Almost Mercy. You know, we've got our local filmmakers, crew members, and then while that's going on, there's also internships. Students that might be going to New England Tech are working on their films. On the Wes Anderson film that we did, Moonrise Kingdom, we had students that were studying Wes Anderson two semesters prior, now interviewing for like 20 spots to work on his film. The same thing's happening with the Woody Allen film.
You're listening to The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. Our guest is Steven Feinberg, the executive director of the Rhode Island Film and TV Office. Getting back to Wes Anderson, he really had some nice things to say about Rhode Island that went global.
Yeah, Wes was wonderful. It was very important for him to use as an example local caterers, local crew members. He also loved Rhode Island, and most recently, while promoting the Grand Budapest Hotel, they had asked him, and I believe it was the New York Times and NPR, asked him, you know, where are some of your favorite locations you've ever filmed? And I believe one of the first or second place he mentioned was Rhode Island. He mentioned Camp Yago. He mentioned the Matunuck Oyster Bar. And the great thing about Wes Anderson, who is a phenomenal independent filmmaker, his movie Moonrise Kingdom, filmed entirely in Rhode Island, was on a global stage at the Cannes Film Festival, opening the Cannes Film Festival, and we promoted Rhode Island there. And that is an entree for filmmakers to look at the state of Rhode Island. And now Woody Allen's doing the same thing, and there's been a lot of opportunities that we've been promoting.
Have computer-generated effects eaten into the need for an on-location shoot at all?
Well, that's an interesting thing. I was just watching Red River the other day, Howard Hawks' film, and all that stuff was done physically, and there was no CGI. I tell people in Rhode Island we can do anything. The only thing we don't have are the Himalayan mountains. And then a friend of mine who works for Disney said to me, well, Steve, we can actually put that in the background. I think what filmmakers look for are opportunities to do as much practically as possible in camera. And then if they need to add on, they'll add it on, and hopefully it will be a flawless merging that you'll not, the audience member won't notice that there is a special effect. Sometimes, to the detriment of a film, they'll put in these special effects that are may cheapen the look or take you out of the moment, the emotional moment. So they're always looking for the right practical location, and those are usually your smart filmmakers.
Now, a few years ago, there was talk about building a film studio, a soundstage here in Rhode Island, and that didn't sort of happen. Do you think that's necessary for Rhode Island to take the next step in terms of being able to host productions?
I'm going to surprise you. It actually happened in a different method than without all the fanfare. We have, in the state of Rhode Island, a 25,000-square-foot soundstage attached to 20,000 square feet of offices. It was used on the Body of Proof television series. It was finding a needle in a haystack, and we work really hard to find that needle in a haystack. And it's right in Warwick, Rhode Island. And Woody Allen's offices are being, I don't want to tell exactly where, but they'll be utilizing those as well. But yes, we actually have a soundstage that has got the lighting grid, and it's really fantastic in size and scope. And it's one of the largest in the East Coast.
Now, Massachusetts just has been building one, is that right?
I think they're building one. And they're talking about building a giant studio, but we have a soundstage and offices and with plenty of parking and surrounded by trees, and it's, beneath the radar, but it's very, very practical and been successful.
So wrapping up, Steve Feinberg, if you want to make a movie, come to Rhode Island.
Come to Rhode Island. It's the independent state of film. Yes, it is. Absolutely. We're here to welcome all filmmakers, and our office is 222-3456. That's 222-FILM.
Okay, Rhode Island Film and TV Office Executive Director Steven Feinberg has been the guest on The Bottom Line. Steve, thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks also to Mark Murphy of Providence Business News.
Glad to be here as always, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon. This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.
Support for The Bottom Line comes from Bank RI, a local bank creating financial solutions to help small businesses grow and succeed. More at bankri.com.